Welcome to Gardening Naturally with Jeff Ferris. Call or text Jeff now with your gardening and landscape questions, 512-836-0590.
Hey, good morning, gardeners. Excuse me. So far, the weather looks pretty nice for today. Kind of overcast, but again, nice temperatures. A little warmer than we normally would be today. And still breezy. That's one of the things that I get it. The wind blows. But man, that just wears me out outside when the wind is blowing nonstop and I've got to constantly deal with, well, which way do I turn so it doesn't blow in my face? Things like when mowing or weed eating, you get stuff blown all over you anyway, so I guess it's no big deal. Spent yesterday outside. Let's see. Mostly weed eating. I have two weed eaters. One is a gas-powered one, and one is electric, battery-powered. Well, my gas-powered one happened to give me trouble yesterday. It would start, it would run for a minute, and that would be it. I think I know what's wrong, should be easy to fix, but I got tired of messing with it. So I went and got my electric one. I am amazed because with a fully charged battery, I did more than half of my property, which is an acre. It did a good job. Sometimes I'd have to go slow to let it tear down nasty weeds, but I was impressed. I had gotten it simply to do small places that were, not worth getting out my big weed eater. So I was impressed. Those of you who are considering the battery-powered weed eaters, if you have a battery tool system like Makita or DeWalt or Ryobi, they're pretty good. They're nowhere near the power of a gas-powered one. That was one thing I noticed right away. And they're not really a lot quieter, but they work just fine. And it's nice not to have to, pump them full of fuel all the time. Just my two cents observation. Yesterday, we opened up our bluebird house and we have three babies. And when it comes to baby birds, everybody thinks of day-old chicks. They hatch out of the egg, they look a little nasty, and then suddenly, poof, they're all fluffy and super cute. That's not bluebirds. They make the definition of only a face only a mother would love. Man, they are ugly. But they're coming along. Mom and Dad are taking care of them properly. So hopefully we're going to add three new bluebirds to the environment here soon. About 6 weeks from now, they should be fledging. Give or take. Depends on how healthy they are and how things are going for them. And we also, yesterday again, saw our Hummer. He comes by and he has a pattern. He usually starts on the betony, then he goes to the salvias, and then he moves on. It's kind of a regular pattern for him, and it's interesting to watch him. He zips along just fine. Can't wait till my Turk's cap starts blooming. That'll be a big spot for him. He'll love that. So Was an interesting day yesterday. Oh, I mentioned I have this endless pile of chipped trees for mulch. Cut down, I don't know, three trees, had them ground up. They left the grindings on our property so that I could use them for mulch. Well, that was 3 years ago. And I've only made about a half dent in the pile they left me. But this pile has been constantly breaking down. Slowly but surely, the material at the very bottom of the mulch is becoming like coffee grounds. It is really wonderful stuff. It's dark. It smells like walking in the forest. It's very, very small. It's not big pieces of chipped wood, thankfully. And it's been doing great as mulch around my garden beds. My wife mulched a bunch of them yesterday. They look fantastic. This mulch is naturally a very dark color, so it makes for a good, attractive cover for my flower beds and for around my trees. Well, while we were digging in it, not we, my wife was digging in it. She had to send me a picture. She came into a big frog. And I'm not talking about, you know, the one that fits in your hand real tiny. This one was pretty big. It was a lot bigger than ones I'm used to seeing. And he's been living in the compost. So he's keeping it bug free. Really, really like that. Again, nature will balance itself out. I don't have to sweat that, oh, I got frogs in my compost. Great, that's a good thing. They're pretty voracious when it comes to eating bugs. So, yeah, I want them hanging around. They look cool. And in the evenings, we can sit outside just about dusk. And you can hear them singing. Sometimes it's a deep croak. Sometimes it's a higher pitched song. But it's good entertainment, you know, to kick back, relax, look at the stars. Or for those of you who've been paying attention, early in the evening, there is a comet that you can see. It's not quite naked eye visible. So it'll be a lot better to look at if you have like a pair of binoculars or maybe a telescope. But they're calling it the Devil's Comet, which is a joke because it looks like it has two tails, which makes it look like it has horns. But it'll be around for till the end of April, I believe. And you can find it in the night sky. So staring at the stars, looking at the comets, listening to the frogs sing, that's a pretty good evening outside. Folks, this is Gardening Naturally. I need to take a quick break. I'll be right back.
This is Gardening Naturally on News Radio KLBJ with host Jeff Ferris. Jeff is ready for your calls or text messages at 512-836-0590.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Been enjoying the wildlife lately. We have a hutch bunnies, two little tiny bunnies, tennis ball sized. They're so adorable. Oh my God, they're so cute. And they're running around my yard. You can really tell that they're juvenile because they can't run in a straight line. That's one of the advantages that the juveniles have to help, well, basically keep them from being eaten, is that they have this really jerky movement pattern that's hilarious when you watch it. As they get bigger, you'll know how much more mature they are by how straight they run. They'll zip off in a straight line at a zillion miles an hour. But the little babies, the I don't know if it's coordination or if it's instinctual to help protect themselves. But they have this really strange running pattern. But they are adorable. And we can sit out on our deck or our front porch and sit in a chair and watch them come incredibly close to us like we aren't there. We don't startle them, talk to them. They look at us. They're obvious that they can see us, but they don't think we're a bad guy. And that's kind of neat because they'll come around and we get to enjoy them. Now, had a run of birds yesterday. We have times of the day where in our bird bath, it's a splash party. That's the only way to describe it. There'll be two to eight birds in the one bird bath, all of them splashing, taking a bath. And the thing that was cool the other day, we had an American goldfinch, which is almost all yellow. And then we had a lesser goldfinch, which is yellow and its wings are dark, so it looks like it's wearing a jacket. A cardinal, they're not firefinch, housefinch. They have the red breast on them. And this mix of birds was all in the pond at the same time, splashing away, just having a big time. And one would fly off and somebody else would fly in. That is just so relaxing, so enjoyable. That's probably the number one reason you should have a bird bath. The birds obviously need the water. They like to take the bath so they can get mites and things off of them. And it's hilarious watching them. And we've recognized it doesn't take much, but if you listen, you can recognize so many birds by their sound. Cardinals have a very distinct call. Purple martins, without a doubt, nobody makes a sound like they do. And then you get the unending singers like mockingbirds. They will sit and just suddenly burst into song. We'll be outside working, and above our head, in like the crepe myrtles or one of the trees, they'll be sitting up there watching us and singing this beautiful song. You swear they're singing it just for you. Excuse me. Which, of course, isn't true. It's mating season. It's spring. They're singing it to find a mate. But it's amazing. It's really beautiful song. Of course, the problem is when they decide to perch on your fireplace cover, top of the chimney, at 3 a.m, and decide to sit up there and sing, and it echoes through your house, it may be beautiful, but not at 3 a.m, right? It's like, no, I'm sorry, I get to go to sleep now. But we recognize many of the birds, the goldfinches, woodpeckers have a very unique call. And of course, we listen to the cries of the hawk. We have a pair of nesting hawks. I think they're red-shouldered. In a tree, probably 200 feet away. okay, 300 feet away. It's a very tall, old Mexican sycamore. And they nest. It's so funny because they will perch on a branch that doesn't have any leaves on it. It's really high, and it kind of sticks out in such a way that if they're ever on it, you can see it from half a mile away. You can see them up there, and they're just sitting. Occasionally, you hear a little squawk from them, but they're just sitting up there guarding their nest. We haven't had owls. Excuse me. We haven't seen or heard owls in a while. I'm sure they're out there. But we have been seeing plenty of... We have been seeing or hearing a roadrunner. That's a very unique sound. You almost think he's a dove. The pattern, the tone is just enough difference where you'll recognize that, hey, son of a gun, that's not a dove. Those we got a lot of. Lots and lots of dove. And it's rather unique because when dove season starts, I get like 10 times as many doves as I do when it's not dove season. I think they consider my property a safe place because they will just cover the wires while everybody else is shooting. That's all right with me. They have their purpose in life too. Speaking of which, doves and all these different birds, they are beneficial. They can be instigators. As the house sparrows attack my purple martins all the time. Starlings will too. I don't have that problem. My purple martin house has doors on it called starling resistant entrance hole, SREH. So the starlings never try to nest in it. That's a good thing. So don't have to deal with that. Let's go to the phone. This is Pam. Pam, what can I help you with?
Last spring, I planted a celeste fig, and it survived the summer and the nice mild winter, and it has a full top growth of leaves. Now, it's only about 3.5 feet tall. And now I'm seeing a shoot coming out at the base of it. And I want to know whether I should leave that.
Pam, we call a fig a tree, which is kind of a misnomer. It's really a sort of organized shrub. So every one of those shoots that come out of the bottom means you're going to get more places for it to make figs. Now, it could be a pretty big expanse. You could have 10 shoots by the time it gets bigger coming out of the bottom with all of these new woods sprouts on them. And that's where figs are made, on the new wood. So if you're cutting that off, you're removing some possibility of fig.
Well, okay. We're not growing them for our just fun. We're growing them to eat, so I'm going to leave it alone.
You bet. I transplanted one this year, and it has one shoot that came out and leafed out. Went out there and looked yesterday. There are two more shoots coming up, and I'm not touching them. I want that fig to start producing figs as soon as possible.
Absolutely. Now, one other question. What is the best thing to give this? Seaweed? Do we treat them nice, or do we just leave them alone?
You can treat them nice. Maybe once a month you drench the root zone with seaweed solution.
Okay.
not so much fertilizer, but compost frequently, yeah. Like a couple times a year, nice layer of compost around the roots. They'll okay. be really happy.
Okay. We can do that. We can do that. Okay, Jeff, thanks for all you do. I appreciate thanks. It, and have a great Easter. Thanks.
You too. Thanks for the call, Pam. Folks, I got a break for the news. I'll be right back.
This is Gardening Naturally on News Radio KLBJ with host Jeff Ferris. Jeff is ready for your calls or text messages at 512-836-0590.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Let's go to the phone. This is Lee. Lee, what can I help you with?
Yes, I got some knockout roses, and I got like a cluster of the branches that are turning maroon. Is there something I should be worried about that?
Nope. New growth on a rose can be that maroon color. New leaves can be that color also. It's just what they do. It will wind up turning green and stems will have bark on them, but it is not a bad sign.
Okay. Yeah, I was really worried about it, but it's like if there's a lot of clusters of maroon, it's like, oh my God, I was worried.
Nope.
You don't want to lose.
Nope. They do that. New growth can look like that.
Okay. Can I ask you one more question?
Sure.
Okay, my sister planted a Miranda Lambert rose, and that rose is about 6 inches diameter. And I took some clippings, and I'm going to try today. What's the best way for you? Do you think I should start the clippings?
You want about an 8-inch piece of new wood. You want some rooting hormone. And you want a potting soil that's really light. You don't want a big, heavy, thick potting soil. And you're going to make about an 8-inch cut. You're going to dip it in rooting hormone. And you're going to put it in that potting soil. You want to keep it moist, but not a swamp. Okay. And you want to probably do more than one clipping. You can get a larger container and do what's called a community pot, where maybe you put 5 starts in there to see which ones will set new roots for you. But in about 6 weeks, maybe 8 weeks, you should be getting some of those starts to put on roots.
Okay. All right. I have everything except for the soil. I need to go get that.
Yeah, you want something that's really light and drains very well.
Oh,
so okay. a potting soil will work.
Okay. Oh, will?
Yes.
Okay. Well, then I have that then.
All right.
Oh, thank you very much for all your help, and happy Easter.
You too. Thanks for the call, Lee. Hang on a second, folks. Sorry, had to call. Let's go to the phone. This is Dennis. Dennis, what can I help you with?
Good morning, Jeff. We planted some tomatoes about 3 weeks ago. And, you know, they originally, say, 6 inches tall. Now they're, you know, this one plant in particular is 12 to 15 inches tall. It's a cherry tomato plant. It has literally 35 cherry tomatoes on it, and it's only about 12 inches tall. Now, I like the fact that I got all kinds of cherry tomatoes, but I'm kind of wondering if the plant's going to get any bigger, or are there varieties that only get to be about that big, and this could be it?
No, more than likely, cherry tomatoes tend to be, not always, but they tend to be a pretty big, sprawling plant. For example, something called a sun gold, which is a type of cherry tomato, can grow over 6 feet tall. Some tomatoes, if you happen to get one that was what's called a patio tomato, may not get as big. but it should continue to produce tomatoes just fine. Nothing unusual going on here. Just remember to keep it watered when it needs it and fertilize it so that it has what it needs to put on more growth. It may get, you know, it's 18 inches tall now and covered with tomatoes, great. It may wind up being 6 foot tall before you know it. But it doesn't sound like there's anything wrong with it at the moment. Just because it's short doesn't mean it won't have possibilities.
Okay, that was my concern. Lots of tomatoes, which is great. But I'm hoping that it gets to be that 3 or 4 foot tomato plant.
It should. Like I said, if you continue to take care of it, if you give it what it needs to grow, it should get much bigger. You may want to go back and look and try to find either the tag that came with it and find out what kind of tomato it was. Because if it was a patio style tomato, it will get bigger, but not a lot bigger. They're really designed to be grown, if you had to, in a container and produce lots of tomatoes. And if you have that kind and it's growing now and it's doing all right and it's making tomatoes for you, don't complain. It should continue to do so for the rest of the year.
Now, these are actually, they are in containers, but they're in 55-gallon drums cut in half. So we've done this for a few years now, and there's never been a problem with the growth on other plants, peppers and tomatoes. So I'm suspecting, I do need to go look at the tag and find out what I've got and just take it from there.
Yeah, you do. Make sure you've got, you've fertilized them, and that is more than enough soil for any kind of tomato to grow in. Half a drum is a large area to grow tomatoes in. So there's no reason it shouldn't get bigger unless it's running out of food.
Okay, very good. Thank you for the advice.
No problem. Thanks for the call, Dennis. Yeah, folks, you can grow your average tomato. I'm talking about a celebrity or mortgage lifter. Maybe you're growing a black crim or a sun gold or something like that. You can grow your average tomato in a 5-gallon bucket. That is more than enough space and more than enough soil for them to be successful. Now, they want drainage. Yes, tomatoes can use a lot of water, but they really need the drainage too. So if you're growing them in a 5-gallon bucket, make sure that you put some drain holes in it, because you don't want it to become a mud bath at the bottom. That will not help the tomatoes. Not at all. So good drainage. But a 5-gallon bucket is more than large enough to grow a complete tomato plant. A 3-gallon bucket, they're kind of hard to come by. They're like janitorial supply places. A 3-gallon bucket will grow a pepper. Amazingly, it'll be just fine for it in a 3-gallon size container. So you do not need a huge container to grow well. You don't need a ton of space. This is where those of you who only have a little back patio, this is where you folks can get in on the game. You can grow peppers and tomatoes and okra. It's a little difficult to grow corn in a container. I really wouldn't recommend it. But peas, beans, kale, cabbage, broccoli, all of those things will do great in a container. Great. And they're easier to care for. Folks, this is Gardening Naturally. I need to take a break. I'll be right back.
This is Gardening Naturally on News Radio KLBJ with host Jeff Ferris. Jeff is ready for your calls or text messages at 512-836-0590.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Overcast yet? Great time to be outside. Temperatures are wonderful today. Can get a lot of gardening done. Soon as I'm done here, I'm heading out. I have some lawn mowing to do. I always have lawn mowing to do. Everybody goes, I want property. No, you don't, because you got to take care of it. And sometimes you get a little tired of having to go out there and do that. It seems somewhat endless. We dug holes, dug a hole to get ready for a new tree. We think we're going to put in a Monterey oak. I had a beautiful one. It was so reliable, and the freeze-pocalypse killed it. Very disappointing. I doubt we're going to have another freeze-pocalypse like that for quite a while. Of course, I have no idea. I'm gambling. I don't think we're going to have another freeze-pocalypse, at least for a while, until I can get my tree well established. So I dug a hole, and I'm probably going to get a 5-gallon tree. The reason for that is I can't get anything bigger in my car and home, but it will grow fast. I will get to watch it grow up. And like I said, I dug the hole 5 feet or less, 5 feet or less from where an existing tree was. I cut down my escarpment black cherry. It was disappointing. I love that tree so much. But between the heat and the freezes, it just couldn't make it anymore. It's technically a fruit tree. And as such, it suffers all the pests and diseases of fruit trees in our part of the country. It had borers in it. It was diseased. It was very disappointing to have to remove it because it was so beautiful. In the spring, it had all these white flower bracts on it. In the fall, it was this gorgeous yellow. So it was disappointing removing it. But I'm going to replace it. I'm going to put something new in and give it an opportunity to grow up and become a great-looking tree to replace one that was quite good as it was. I was surprised at how relatively easy it was to be able to dig the hole for the new tree so close to the old one. It was a few roots. Not many, and all but one of them I could cut with the shovel itself. One of them was kind of large and had to take pruners in there, dig around it, cut it out. But that was it. It didn't take a very long time. And now I can plant very close to where the old tree was. We'll have to wait and see. We're leaning towards a Monterey, but we don't know. We may go to our local independent nursery and shop around and see what they have available. Hopefully they'll have good stuff.